This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy from Armature, providing software solutions for conformity assessment, standards, and policy management. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Fed Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Tonya Harmon. She's the CEO of a company called Care Director USA. And I thought it would be appropriate to talk about healthcare IT and managed services and maybe turn the tables a little bit, talk about managed services, not for a stack of servers, but managed services for the listener, for human beings. And where's the interaction between managed services and technology and maybe some of the new healthcare options that some of us are going to have here coming up in 2014 and 2015. But before we begin, let's get a little background on Tonya, find out about your experience with healthcare IT, and maybe how you wound up with this Irish-based company called Care Director.
Sure. Well, I've been in healthcare IT for over 25 years, and I guess it wedded my two passions, which was IT and working in a human services field, helping people. I'd always done volunteer work. I'd always been involved in personal computers, so I married the two together, and I've been in the field ever since. And I had started my own business back in the 90s and grew it into a pretty good
size company. Bold. Woman-owned company in the 90s. That was real bold.
Talking about Malcolm Gladwell and David and Goliath, I didn't know what I didn't know.
Yeah.
And I started it with nothing from scratch and grew it into a multi-million dollar business.
Well, that's wonderful to hear.
Thank you. So after I left that, I was introduced to a company called CareWorks based in Dublin, Ireland by Microsoft. And they had recently replatformed their product onto Microsoft Dynamics CRM. And Microsoft had been interested in getting me involved in that here in the U.S. And so I met with them, thought they were a great group of people to work with, and brought their products and the company here to the U.S., where we're known as Care Director USA.
Great. Yeah, very few people realize that Microsoft is a big, big player all over the world. They have these huge data centers that kind of roll over. They roll over to Ireland. They roll over to part of Europe. They roll over. So when you think of managed services, you think of companies like Amazon. But really, the big player is Microsoft. And just outside Chicago, they have stacks and stacks and stacks of servers in these big containers. It's really, if you dig deep enough and define what's going on with Microsoft, it's a lot of stuff is going on with Microsoft that no one even realizes, isn't it?
They are, and they're very heavily invested, ever since I've been working with them over 15 years. They're big players in the human services side. They provide money and funding to both my customers and to companies like Care Director to help us do innovative things. For example, at one of our customer sites, they worked with them to devise a sign-in for people with physical disabilities so that as they walk in the door, it does facial recognition and it checks them into the building.
Wonderful. So a lot of people know about Microsoft. They think about Microsoft Office. In enterprise-level situations, like a lot of my listeners, they know about accounting-based packages they have. They know about SharePoint, and they may know about Customer Relationship Manager, CRM. And a CRM is kind of a catch-all topic. I think when you think of a CRM, you think of many different custom applications. CRM is now in part of some portals. CRM is like a huge, big product from Microsoft. And CRM, I guess, is also like a Salesforce product. Isn't that how you define a customer relationship, CRMs?
Right.
Yeah. There's free CRMs out there for people managing websites. I mean, there's so many different ones out there. And I think the listeners have to sit back and have to take an objective view and look at all of them. Look at the open source, look at more traditional salesy type things like Salesforce, and look at CRM and see where Microsoft CRM fits in. And a lot of times with the Microsoft products, it's you get on the checklist and, oh, as far as security goes, oh, that's the checklist item that they did 5 years ago, where a lot of these companies are going, well, I didn't realize about this compliance or that compliance. But Microsoft, because they've been enterprise players for such a long time, products like CRM have all that checkbox stuff that's just out of the gate.
Right. HIPAA, obviously, is a big concern. So security is a must. And that was a top priority for us when we picked the platform. Also, I had worked with Microsoft in helping them shape CRM for the human services field for many years. And so a lot of the features and functions that you would find in a human services application aren't necessarily there for a sales force. So things like security down to the field level for role-based security was very important. And so Microsoft had all of that built into their platform, especially in the latest one. They've also got everything in the cloud now. So, and they certify themselves as HIPAA compliant.
And I think what's interesting is if you waltz into Wisconsin, Minnesota, Chicago, I don't know, Denver, and you try to get someone who has experience with an open source platform, you may have to really scrounge around. But if you look for Microsoft trained professionals, there are certifications and there are people with those backgrounds, and you can run and we've done this with my company, you can run an ad with that specific skill set and find people that skill set, and all of a sudden, the idea of being scalable and interoperating with different systems, it's a lot easier if it's a known product.
Right. And Microsoft also has the ability for us to build our product as a layer on top of CRM. And so we can collaborate easily with other vendors who offer similar products like a donor management system. And so that becomes a third layer in the stack. And so for customers, they can use CRM and pay for one license and then use a variety of products like Care Director or a donor management system, all using one CRM license.
Yeah, when I think of donor management, I think of patient registries and disease registries. And there's also donor registries as well, which are important for people who have specific medical conditions. So if you look at a problem, so if you are working for a federal agency or working for a state government and you're trying to figure out how to manage programs, manage, let's say, disbursements from Medicare or Medicaid, a lot of different ways to do it. You can look at open source products. You can look at, I don't know if anyone does anymore, but customized proprietary solutions or COTS, custom off the shelf. Is that what you think? Is that what CRM is? COTS, COTS?
CRM is a COTS application, yes.
Okay, so gives you more flexibility than you think. So we have situations now, and we're right in a transition, and this is kind of an auspicious moment to be in the studio because there's a lot of transitions taking place here. October 2013, people are going to different websites and looking for programs that are out there. January 1st, you have to start buying some insurance. Where does your company fit in with all this ACA system?
Well, on a state-by-state basis, a consumer of social services or health services, if they're using public funding, they have a choice more and more today. They can either go the traditional route and they can go to a state agency and register for services. More often than not, they're still walking into the agency and filling out paperwork. They can go to something called self-directed care in many states now, which allows them to have more say and control over the programs and services and who provides those services. Or they can go through a managed care program in which they work with a managed care entity that can be a private for-profit operation or it can be quasi-government operation. And the managed care entity is going to help them decide what services they need and manage the delivery of that care and try to keep the cost as low as possible.
So classic managed care organizations are like United Healthcare, WellPoint, big, huge companies.
The big ones in some states just have those programs. But in states like Wisconsin, they've actually contracted with small independent organizations that are not really government organizations. They're not for profit. and they operate just like one of the larger MCOs, but they're regionally based.
This is a quite an interesting little dance you're doing here because
my hands.
Because you have the federal governments involved with Medicare, and each state can implement it in a different way. And so you have some states that opting for the government to deploy resources, and some states are choosing their own way to do it. And there's no standards. There doesn't seem to be any way to interoperate it. It's not a recipe for a lot of success, is it?
It's not. And when you go state to state, you don't know what to expect. There's no way to measure whether their programs are working or not. And there's no national outcome standards, so you can't compare one state to another. And I think states are out there floundering, trying to figure out how do you implement managed care? I've seen many of them try and fail. Even within one state, some managed care organizations are successful and others aren't. But there isn't a way to measure and figure out why that's happening.
Measuring is always tough in the world of medical. Let's take a break, come back, talk more about managed care, talk about traditionally how it's thought of with a server, and talk about human beings and the whole dilemma here with states and different choices that people have. You're listening to Fed Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Tonya Harmon. She's the CEO of Care Director USA. Welcome to Fed Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Tonya Harmon, CEO of Care Director USA. We're talking about managed care, managed services for human beings as well as technology. If you want more information on her company, you can go to caredirectorsoftware.com. They have white papers. They have a bunch of videos. You can learn everything about that. 2 weeks ago, I was at a conference, a quality summit, and it was put on by URAC. And I sat next to physicians, and I talked to a lot of physicians from all over the country and learned a whole lot about quality and measuring quality in the medical world, very difficult concept. I mean, because it's not just how's his blood pressure. What about his height? What about his weight? Is he allergic? Is he diabetic? Where's he? Blah, 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 blah. It's not, you're out of gas, put the gas in, you're fine. So measuring quality is difficult, especially when you have 26 ways to measure it and the federal government way to measure it. So what do you do when you encounter situations like outcomes measurement, outcomes improvement?
Well, I guess that's where CRM comes in our product, is that you've got to have a product that's very flexible. So depending on the customer, they're going to measure different performance measurements. So it could be customer satisfaction, the questions they ask and who they ask and when they ask them will be different than the next customer. So you can't hard code a product and give it to all of your customers. You've got to provide a tool that allows them to collect the outcome measures.
NCQO is another company downtown. They have HEDIS measures, and they try to measure readmission rates and morbidity and mortality. But and this is all great, and you may have a product like yours or product B or something, and then all of a sudden a state like Arizona goes, oh, guess what? We're changing. Wait a minute. We just spent a year designing this program to talk about readmission rate and morbidity. Well, that's not good enough. We want a geographic-based morbidity rate, and we want why one hospital is higher than the other, and drill down and give us that. How do you flex with that? That's the challenge you must have.
Yeah, it is. And one of the things we tell our customers when we start a project is, this is the beginning of the project, but there is no end. You will constantly innovate. As soon as you go live, you're going to need to change. So, for example, a customer in Minnesota just went live with their financial system. And the next day, the state of Minnesota announced that the way that billing would occur for people in day programs was going to change from day rates to 15-minute units.
The very next day.
And so customers have to be able to make these changes in the system with rules, and you have to be able to allow them to turn things on and off and configure the rules to meet the changing rules, the business rules.
You remember Calvin Ball or Calvin Hobbs, and he would play, and he changed the rules during the middle of the game.
Right, that's it.
And this is real Calvin Ball here, and you've got to think. So not only is there Calvin Ball in effect here, but there's also a changing system. All of a sudden, baby boomers getting older. Okay, we've got a lot of veterans coming back from the wars. I was at a wedding on Saturday, two or three veterans there. And you also have strange increases in illnesses like autism. And so take this pot and throw in change, throw in a lot of new people, and then, oh, by the way, the ACA is on the horizon. Wow. I think you have to be agile more than anything, don't you?
And then you've got stagnant or dwindling budgets. So they've got exploding caseloads out in the states, and the old traditional method of seeing everybody face to face and checking them in and doling out the money isn't working anymore. There's less money and there's more people. And the general public is demanding better access to the information. They want to have direct access themselves. They want more transparency. They want to be able to access information through a mobile device, and they want to be able to access it for the people they care for. So suddenly they have all of these technical capabilities out in the general public, and the states weren't ready to be able to receive that information or to provide the information online. So just in the last 5 years, I'd say there's been a huge explosion in the need for providing portals and general public access in a variety of ways, whether it's through the internet or through a mobile device.
When I was at this quality conference, I sat next to a lot of physicians. I'd sit and chat with them about all kinds of different odds and ends. And one guy's a retired physician. And what he does now, he brings in dogs into hospitals to be with people. He says the dogs love it.
Yeah.
The dogs get up early in the morning so they can go and visit people because they want to be petted. And we talked about some problems with physicians, too. And I think the physicians that are working now spend a lot of time fighting the insurance company and forms and doing paperwork. And why should you spend $200,000 to get through medical school, go through that grueling process of becoming a physician, and then spend your time on silly details where they should be spending time with patients? And I think this has got to be a focus with how can you improve outcomes? Well, have physicians spend more time with patients rather than fighting insurance claims.
Right. You've got a growing amount of information you've got to collect, and the effort of keying all of that into the computer is a big issue. Even as we move into easier technology or more advanced technology with the use of a mouse, we're seeing great resistance to that even because it's not as fast as it was with the old green screens and typing it onto a keyboard. So there's those people who use the green screens are just the baby boomers who are retiring. And there's a new group of users coming in who have different demands. They want to have access on their own personal laptops. They want to have access offline. So they have a whole other set of technical demands. And they don't want the computer to get in the way of them seeing people face to face.
Yeah. Your company has an office here in Reston. There's another group in Reston called WEDI, W-E-D-I. And their workbook for electronic data interchange, and they talk about exchanging information. And they say, well, 10, 15 years ago, most of this information was proprietary and locked in with a specific vendor, and they didn't want to open up the door. They wanted you my way or the highway, buddy. That's it. And they wanted to force everyone to do, let's say, an Oracle way or another different companies out there. And I think that's the change where now you have to develop a portal that can interoperate with not only the existing systems, but what systems are going to throw at you next year. So it's a real challenge. And I think not only you are trying to figure it out, but everyone's trying to figure it out right now.
Yeah. So you've got with Microsoft CRM, the interoperability, and through web services, we can communicate with whatever legacy systems are out there. And also access to the information. Like you said, the old systems, the biggest complaint I heard from users in the past was it was a black hole. You put data in and you never were able to get information out. And now with the interactive dashboards and the ability to, with a click of a button, export anything, users can suddenly dig deep into the data and look for trends and analyze the data in ways they never could before.
I went to your website, caredirectorsoftware.com, and I noticed that you partner with a company to work on mobile solutions. Tell me about this company, local company in Ireland. What's the name? MMDW, CDW, I forget the name.
CWR is an Irish company, and they had worked with Microsoft in the past to develop mobile apps. Microsoft CRM is now moving in their next generation of products much more towards a mobile platform as well. So mobility is a moving target right now. It's difficult to know, what direction to go in because it's changing so quickly. You've got HTML5, you've got a variety of different devices, and developing on a mobile platform is not the same as developing for the internet. So you've got a different set of considerations, a different set of users, and CWR had been down that path already. So
Good. So what your company does is you provide a technology solution for a managed care framework. And this solution is not going to fit in every single state in the United States. It'll fit in a few of them. And what you attempt to do is try to allow companies to provide or manage the services by using your tools. So you're kind of like a tool provider
right.
for organizations that try to, like a large organization tries to group together claims and manage them. So if Medicare or Medicaid says, okay, this is $1,000 per patient per year, what you do is you pull that and try to manage that so everyone gets the appropriate level of care that they require.
Right. And our product is used both in the old traditional agencies at states. It's also used in the self-directed care programs where there's much greater access by the general public, both in keen information and looking it up. And it's also used in the managed care environment. And as you said, from state to state, the needs in the managed care environment differ greatly.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about some Blues, not only Blue Cross and Blue Shield, but also the Blue Button. And I want to talk about electronic health records, EHR, which is a huge topic that everyone's talking about, and getting information out of that and exchanging information between states and the federal government and insurance companies. It's really a technology challenge. You're listening to Fed Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Tonya Harmon, CEO of Care Director USA. Welcome back to Fed Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Tonya Harmon, CEO of Care Director USA. For more information, you can go to caredirectorsoftware.com. I was there this morning. You can download white papers. You can read blogs. You can get a whole bunch of videos. You guys have a lot of videos on YouTube, don't you?
A lot of videos, yeah.
Because a lot of my listeners, they get information in different ways. Some actually read books. Some read blogs. Some tweet. Some read my blog, and so many different ways to get information. And increasingly, I see more and more people using handheld devices and searching on YouTube and getting their information and making decisions based on information like that.
Yeah. It's changing marketing. It's changing the way we train users as well.
If you want to read my blog, you can type in John Gilroy blog, or you can go to Tech Tuesday blog, and I'll be blogging about this interview and maybe share some pictures and some highlights and places to go to get more information about this whole idea of compliance and the ACA and mobile devices. And let me tell you something. Every report I've read says mobile devices are going to be everywhere by 2017. There's supposed to be 87% of the internet devices will be either smartphones or tablets.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a crazy number. And so guess what? You waltz into a hospital, there's going to be PA, physician assistants and nurses and doctors, and they're going to have handheld devices, and they're going to operate securely. And there's a thing called HIPAA, H-I-P-A-A, which started 20 years ago, but there's some serious changes that have taken place in September and January as well, and these can impact everyone, can't it?
Yeah, just a month ago, the new HIPAA security rules went into place. And they now come with severe penalties, $1.5 million per incident of a security breach. And that applies not just to the hospital or the doctor's office, but it applies to any other entity that might have been involved in that chain of the breach, whether it's the hosting company of your software or your software vendor themselves. So the penalties are severe, and obviously mobility is a concern for everyone. In fact, just the other day I saw there's a new company in the Reston area that focuses on mobile security doing great. So all of that, as a software vendor, you've got to worry about external access to information, making sure people only see the information they need to know. There's now also part of that September law is a requirement that a patient can walk into the office and ask to see a log of who has accessed their records in the last 5 years and what they've accessed.
Wow, it's amazing. And it's going to change again in January, too, I think. Right. There's new. And so I think that's, it's like, I drive a Honda Accord. Why? Because it's the most reliable car out there. It's not the best car. It's not the worst car, not the cheapest, but it's pretty much easy to fix. And I know that mechanics are going to be able to fix it blindfolded. So why do you rely on Microsoft? Well, Microsoft has got a whole stack of smart people out there in Seattle that make sure that they comply with all these different rules and regulations, because that's just part of a large corporate responsibility. Yeah. I think that's a good selling point for looking at a Microsoft CRM-based solution for this particular managed care application.
We actually built our own product in Ireland from the ground up first for the first 10 years of the company's life, and got to the point where we realized that we were building basically a CRM platform ourselves from scratch, and that didn't make sense. And so after meeting with Microsoft and taking a much deeper look at CRM, we realized that we could focus on our level of expertise, our area where we excel at understanding the business requirements of human services, and let Microsoft and their smart people work on the platform itself. And that's where the nuts and bolts are of the security platform. And so they can take care of that. And we can take care of the next layer, which has all of the rich information that human services users need.
By 2014, some estimate that one half of the states will implement some form of managed care. And so each state has a different way of doing it. Virginia, different from Pennsylvania, different from Ohio, complete different ways. No consistency in data collection, no consistency in outcomes measurement. It would make someone like me jump up and down and scream and go, well, wait a minute. I mean, what is value? I mean, if you're trying to reduce cost, you have to have some kind of a benchmark for value, don't you? I mean, this is a real challenge, separate from the technology it applies, but this is a challenge in and of itself.
Yeah, I was just reading this morning that I believe it's Kansas had announced that they had completely moved to managed care for their Medicaid population and thought it was a great success. And then they've got the patients themselves coming forward and saying, well, not so fast. One particular gentleman had muscular dystrophy and had his units slashed from 168 hours a week of care slashed down to 40 by the managed care organization. So there's going to be rationing. They've got to continue to measure customer satisfaction, but there are no benchmarks. There's no standards for any of that. So it's going to be painful over the next 10 years, I think, as we thrash around trying to figure out what the best mix is.
So who would come up with the standards? Would it be the American Medical Association? Would it be HHS? Would it be some kind of a grouping of insurance companies or managed care providers? I mean, how would you even come up with standards?
That's a good question. I don't know that I have the answer to that. I know in at the federal level, in their aging division, they had come up with standards for data collection, but they never implemented the next step, which was what were the benchmarks and the performance measures that states had to live up to. So I've been around doing this for 25 years, and I've yet to see any entity actually operationalize standards that make sense.
In other worlds, for example, in Energy Star, there are SDOs, Standards Development Organizations, that come up with standards, and the federal government approves them, and then organizations are called deeming authorities, and they accredit or certify based on that standard. But once you come to healthcare, then all of a sudden, it's not necessarily a numeric standard, the variance. There are narratives involved with each story, and all of a sudden when you try to comply with a narrative or submit a narrative in compliance, it gets these human beings involved, and that's so difficult.
Well, you've got different levels of care, different levels of need. You can measure the cost per level of care, and you can look at customer satisfaction. And the two success stories I've seen recently in Germany, they implemented self-directed care where they gave the consumers budgets, personal budgets, and they let them manage the money and decide who was going to serve them and what services they needed. And what they found at the end of the study was that people in the self-directed care program were willing to take as much as 30% less in money if they had the ability to control their own destinies, basically. And they reported higher levels of satisfaction. So there's a way to save money, give people more control over themselves. But here in the U.S., I think that's a big ask to allow states to give money directly into the pockets of consumers and giving up some of that control.
Well, the question arises with people who have post-traumatic issues, maybe people who are autistic, maybe people who have problems that we can't even understand well, and have them make those choices. I think it's very difficult. I think one way to have people get involved is with electronic health records and personal health records. And the big story in the last 3 years is the Blue Button Initiative. I mean, this has just exploded, gone way beyond. I mean, we had the people in here when they first started up. They figured, oh, maybe get 15,000-20,000 people. Now it's in the millions for anything to do with Blue Button, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Personal health records. So years ago, we'd have proprietary systems. And today what we see in general is we see some type of a front-end system, maybe a self-service online portal where people may or may not be able to put in information, or maybe even use a smartphone that's HIPAA compliant and apps for that. Is that kind of a transition we see here?
Definitely. And the portals are more than just the submission of data. It's a two-way street. It allows consumers to communicate with the people that serve them, as well as setting appointments. It could be a spouse or a caregiver, a parent, reading the case notes on a daily basis of the children or the adults that are under care. So there's a lot more transparency, or at least the technology is enabling the ability for doctors and other caregivers to provide transparency. And a lot of the fears of, you know, giving more access to information, there is a great fear on the caregiver side that patients wouldn't deal well with that information. And that hasn't been the case. In fact, in a recent study, 87% of the people who participated in the program that let them read their own case care notes online that the doctors wrote wanted the program to continue. And that program is now rolled out to all 100,000 patients.
Wonderful. Let's take a break. When we get back, talk more about managed services, managed health care, the ACA, and how this all works with a changing and an aging population. You're listening to Fed Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Tony Harmon, CEO, Care Director, USA. Welcome back to Fed Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Tony Harmon, CEO, Care Director, USA, talking about managed services, managed care providers, the ACA, mobile devices. We've touched on all kinds of different things. Some of my listeners actually listen to me. Some listen online when there's snow on the ground, and some people follow Twitter. My Twitter handle is @RayGilRay, and I'll be tweeting out this interview and the blog. Do you folks have Twitter presence? Or
we do. It's @CareDirector.
@CareDirector. So you can go to @CareDirector and find out what they're up to. Sometimes there's links to white papers, or maybe they'll be linked to this radio interview so you can learn more. And some people made for them be hashtag managed services, and you think about managing services for a data center. But no, this is managing human being services, but a lot to do with technology, doesn't it?
Right. So we're managing all the way from the eligibility of who can receive those services through to the delivery, and then ultimately at the end, tracking the outcomes. Did the services do the trick? Did they do what they were intended to do? How much did it cost? Was the user satisfied or the recipient satisfied? And then measuring across providers. Did one provider perform better? But as you said earlier, it's hard to measure those soft things because you're talking about people and every person is different. Their needs are different.
So is this called a case study or case management? Is that what it's called?
It's case management, and we also provide financial management, so the service transaction part as well.
And so you really touch on outcomes measurement then, don't you?
We do, and you've got to be able to be flexible because the outcome measures vary from one customer to another. They can vary from one program to another, even within a customer site, and they will vary from year to year.
It's almost like a Swiss Army knife.
It is.
And it's going to vary by state, and going to vary by time, and it's going to vary by the individual involved.
Right.
And a lot of implications involved with self-directed care. And I think from the physicians I've spoken to, the holy grail is patient involvement. They say, John, if we can just get patient involvement, if we can get patient involvement, and I talk about Blue Button, you go, that's why, because patients are involved. And when they can take in and be responsible for their health, all of a sudden there's a cost reduction rather than a doctor saying, you should do this, you should do that, you should do that. If they manage it themselves, all of a sudden it's that's what everyone's talking about now.
Well, it's like with your kids. If my kids ask me for something and want me to buy it for them, they'll pester me. But if I turn around and say, all right, I'll give you $50, you can spend it on whatever you want, but that's all I'm giving you. Suddenly, the thing they wanted, they don't want anymore because they're in control of their budget. And that's really at the heart of self-directed care. It's a lot more about the less about the money and more about the control. How can I pick, if I have personal hygiene or bathing need in my home, I want to be able to pick the person who provides those very intimate services. I don't want someone dictating who that person's going to be. And I'm willing to accept fewer services in order to have that control.
The only dictate on this show is that everyone has to take a 10-question test, because people are listening and they're going, Tonya, got that Canadian accent. I wonder if she's a nerd. Were there nerds in Canada? No, let me see. So what I'm going to do is ask you 10 questions. These are scientific questions, and this is a scientific survey, and we'll come up with a grade to see if you are, in fact, a card-carrying nerd. Uh-oh. First question is, if I cruise over to your house this afternoon, how many desktops will I find in your house?
We have 10, but 10? I confess I had 7 when I was 14.
But you're getting some nerd points there, a lot of nerd points. And here's a new question. How many cell phones have you purchased in the last year?
7.
7? You're getting big nerd points here. This is a record here. Do you have your own personal Twitter feed?
Of course. Pauline's Cookbook.
Pauline's Cookbook. And do you have a personal blog?
I do. Pauline's Cookbook.
Wow. You're getting all kinds of nerd points. Cooking points, too. Yeah. Do you use any online personal backup services?
I don't.
Okay. What kind of a smartphone do you have?
Primarily Android.
Okay. And how many apps have you used on that in the last 30 days?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask me how many apps.
I know. It's a curveball.
I couldn't even count. Over 30.
Over 30 you use on a regular basis. Huh. Okay. And cruise by your house this afternoon. How many tablets will we find floating around there?
6.
6. This is really, you can be a nerd here. And are you active in any social networking sites?
Of course. Facebook, LinkedIn.
Okay. And last book read was electronic or paper?
Paper.
Oh, you're doing so well there. You know, you almost had the 10 for 10 nerd scale.
I can't give up paper. I was reading this morning about someone, Apple's come up with electronically signing a book, like at a book signing.
Yeah.
And they said, what's next? Electronic musty smells of books?
Something like that. Yeah, yeah. I like books too. And it's always interesting to see how my wife thinks there's a certain book set, like technical books you can read online or read on a tablet, but some you want to just put your hands on
exactly.
And have on a shelf.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good way to look at it. That's an old geezer speaking. So a lot of changes here. ACA, 26 states, different standards, different outcomes measurements, a big push towards self-directed care. Is that what's going to happen the next 5 to 7 years? Is self-directed care going to be the answer for reducing costs in healthcare?
I think we're going to see a dramatic reduction in traditional care. Managed care is struggling right now. I don't think it's proven itself anywhere in the country. And I believe that self-directed care will result in the two things that matter the most, a reduction in cost and an increase in personal satisfaction.
So by self-directed care, this is a process like in Germany where I walk up to you and say, well, Tonya, you got $3,000 this year to manage your care. You can spend it all on drugs. You can spend it all on in-home visits. It's up to you.
Massage.
Talk to you next year.
Yeah.
And so people prefer that because they can control exactly how much they're spending on what.
Yeah, there's a spectrum of self-directed care. At the ultimate, it's exactly what you said. You're given a lump sum of money, and you're able to control the services you want to purchase and the quantity of them. I don't know that will ever fly here in the U.S. So a more modest approach would be you collaborate with the traditional care providers to determine what services you want, but then you can go broker your own services. You can hire your neighbor, your spouse, somebody that you know personally, and hire them as an employer with that money to provide those services.
So if we were to drag you over to Capitol Hill this afternoon and say, okay, what are your suggestions for changing this healthcare policy? Where do you think the sweet spots are? I mean, there are, 500 people on Capitol Hill. Everyone has a strong opinion about this. What's your opinion? Where do you think it could be tweaked? Where do you think it can be improved?
Simplify things. It's way too complicated. Reduce the amount of data collection required and standardize. Provide a few standard measures that everybody must adhere to. And I think you'll be able to track outcomes better that way. You'll reduce the amount of paperwork and you'll put people where they need to be, which is dealing with people.
We see a lot of exchanges going online. Some are successful. Some are full of problems. It's very difficult to actually get detailed facts on exactly how many people have registered for what. But I think we can say there's unreliable data that's out there. That's in most situations of collecting data, even in hospitals, I've seen, data that's not accurate or incomplete. That might be a better term for it. I mean, how do you force someone who is managing their own self-directed care to come up with a completed form and have all the exact numbers correct and, by the way, not changed what a doctor put down?
I don't know that I have the answer to that question, but I can tell you, for example, in the state of Wisconsin, they're projecting that their self-directed care pool, which I think is under 10,000 people right now, is going to grow in the next 5 years to over 40,000 people. And so they're scrambling to look for technology to be able to control and secure that information.
And by the way, better be HIPAA compliant,
right?
And it better be able to interoperate with federal standards. And
Accessible in rural areas, be available offline, be available on mobile devices.
And by the way, we're going to change tomorrow. We may not change, though.
Right.
I mean, it's I mean, you must have I guess when you do a requirements analysis, you must have an extra page in the back that's blank and say this page intentionally blank because the state government may change depending on what happens to the provisions of the ACA.
We pretty much do. Customers have a hard time signing off on requirements because they know things are going to change.
I mean, they almost anticipate it then, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. We enter into projects knowing that things will change. So we teach our customers, number one, how to gather the requirements and the changes, and secondly, how to make those changes themselves in our system.
And big transition with mobile, you think that's going to be part and parcel of this whole idea of self-directed healthcare?
Yes, especially I think with the caregiver population. Statistics show now that the average caregiver of someone who they're looking after in their home checks the internet on a mobile device something like 70% of the time on a weekly basis. So that whole generation is going to demand access through mobile devices.
Oh, a changing world. We have to end our interview here. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Tonya Harmon, CEO of Care Director USA. Thank you, Tonya.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, and federalnewsradio.com.